I was raised in a Christian home, but it wasn't until my second year in the university that I became a follower of Jesus Christ. At the time, I felt Jesus speaking to me, not audibly, but I had this conviction, inner promptings. It was as if he was saying to me, "Victor, who do you say I am?" My journey to Jesus Christ, becoming his follower, it took a long time, many years, which involved reason, debate, logic, but other influence and lots of late night conversations with my friends. But again, it came to that day, that moment when Jesus said, "Victor, never mind what other people say about me. I want you to say, I am forcing you to say, who do you say I am?" So thus began my journey as a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, prior to that saying to Jesus, "Yes, Jesus, you are the Lord," I had always thought, even though I wasn't a believer in Jesus, but I always thought that Jesus was a good moral teacher. You know what I mean? He told his followers to be kind to others, to look after the poor, and to be compassionate. I thought he was a really good moral teacher. But then right before my conviction, before my decision and my commitment to follow Christ as a follower, a small tiny book called More Than a Carpenter, that book really forced the issue for me. This book said, hey, there are three options as to who Jesus is. He claimed to be God, okay? So three options are, number one, he was a lunatic. Number two, he was a liar. Or number three, he was the Lord. Lunatic, liar, Lord. He actually believed that he was God. When he wasn't, that would have made him a lunatic, a crazy person, a poached egg. Second option was he knew he wasn't God, but he claimed to be one. He was an imposter. He deceived everyone, which would make him an evil person. And the more I delve into the book, the more it was apparent that I couldn't call Jesus simply a good moral teacher when he was either a lunatic or liar. I couldn't do that, and neither can you. Because we are intelligent, we are thinking people, we are smart, we think things through, right? Christ claimed to be God, the reason for which he was killed, crucified. Okay? Either he actually believed that he was God, in which case, when he was simply a man, he actually believed that he was God, that would make him a lunatic. Or worse yet, he knew he wasn't God, but he claimed to be one. He fooled everyone, an evil imposter. Now, I just couldn't reconcile. Then I could no longer call Jesus as a good moral teacher. Let me introduce C.S. Lewis. Okay, C.S. Lewis was, for the longest time in his adult life, an atheist, but he became a follower of Jesus Christ, and he thought things through. But this is what he wrote in his book, Mere Christianity. Listen to this. "I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him," that's Jesus. People who say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." This is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he'll be the devil of hell, because that would make him a liar. you must make a choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So friends, can you relate to this? Let me speak to the skeptics. Let me address to my friends here who were like me before making a decision about Jesus Christ. Can you relate to this? My guess is you do consider Christ as a good moral teacher, but not as divine. Now, I just want to appeal to your logic. I want to appeal to your intelligence. You need to be consistent. Please listen to the appeal of C.S. Lewis. I think he makes a terrific sense. Now, so take the time to journey with Jesus and investigate further, okay? Now, let me also address the so-called church people. Just because you may give a lip service to Jesus that he is the Lord may not make you a follower of Christ. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord and Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of God. And then people said, Jesus, did we not call on your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? We had your name. We called upon your name. But Christ says, get away from me. I never knew you. So I want to make sure that both parties, the skeptics and the people in the church, feel the weight of this subject. So let's get to it. Let me take you to the book of Luke, chapter 9. We're going to pick it up from verse 18. As I read it, see if you can picture this. This is a good narrative. It's told as a story. So see if you can follow along and picture it. Imagine the sound, the sight, and the smell, as it were. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, here is the big idea. The theme and the goal of this message is this. Become a follower of Jesus Christ by declaring his grace, by denying yourself, and by discerning Jesus' prayer. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. Do not remain in the crowds. Do not simply be a fan, but become a follower of Jesus Christ by declaring his grace. It's all about his grace. It's what he has done. It's who he is, and it's what he's doing in your life right now. And second, denying yourself. It's about dying to yourself and rising with Jesus. And number three, a discerning Jesus prayer. So let's get to the first one. Become a follower of Jesus Christ and remain a follower of Christ by what? By declaring, embracing, proclaiming Jesus' grace. The narrative starts with Jesus being in a private place praying, and then he calls his 12 disciples, the followers. Okay? Now, this is all about fan versus follower, because previously he just fed 5,000 men, which meant when you include the women and the children, there were at least 10,000 people who got fed by Jesus Christ, the bread and the fish. Okay? Now, he is no longer with the crowds. He is in private with his disciples, the 12 followers, the inner circle. And he asks them, who do people say I am? Okay? Their response, oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Oh, some say you are Elijah the prophet. Oh, some say you're one of the prophets of long ago. But then Jesus says, never mind who they say about me. Who do you say I am? Then of the 12, it's Peter who responds, you are God's Messiah. The word Messiah is Hebrew. In the New Testament of your Bible, it's actually called, in Greek, the Christ of God. Messiah, Christ, same meaning. It means the anointed one. It's referring to the Old Testament when the Bible says, God's anointed one, God's Messiah, God's Christ will come into the world as the Lord and Savior. Okay? Now, so when Jesus says, never mind what people say about me, who do you say I am? That's when Peter gets it right. For the first time, he gets it right. He says, you are God's Messiah, the Christ of God. And then here comes Jesus' response, which I find so strange. He says, do not tell about this to anyone. And then he goes on to say this really two verses that really summarize the whole meaning, the ministry, and the purpose of Jesus Christ. In verse 22, and he said, the Son of Man, referring to himself, the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Friends, here's what Jesus is saying. The Son of Man, which is Jesus' most preferred term, referring to himself, the Son of Man. And that's because when he uses that phrase, the Son of Man, he's always referring to the cross and the resurrection. The cross. He keeps saying the Son of Man must suffer many things. The Son of Man must be rejected by the religious and the national authorities. And the Son of Man must be killed on the cross. And the Son of Man must be raised to life on the third day. In short, he is saying, my followers, and Christ is calling you to be his follower, my followers will embrace this grace, my sacrifice for you, my resurrection for you. It's dying on the cross for you and rising out of the tomb for you. Jesus is saying, it's not just an option. I must suffer. I must die. I must be rejected. Why? So that I may save you. Victor, you are a sinner. You are dying in your sin. And you are dying. You are living without purpose. And I must give you my life. And in order for me to do that, I must die. And then when I rise on the third day, you will receive my life, the resurrection life. So friends, let me cut to the chase. Are you with the crowds or are you with the followers? Remember, Jesus set them apart. He is talking to not the crowds, but to the disciples, the followers. Why was it that when Peter gave the right answer to the question, why did Jesus say, shh, don't tell anyone about this? Now, the word that he used is he strictly warned them. That is a military terminology. It's as if a high officer commanding the soldiers, do not tell anyone who I am. Why was that? What's the reason? I don't get it. Well, you will find the answer when you understand the mind of the crowds. The crowds and the disciples, the fans versus the followers. Here's the difference. The crowds, they were coming to Jesus not because of Jesus, but because of the things they got from Jesus. In John, Jesus says, those 5,000 people, how come they're not following me? They're not following me because they came to me to get their fill. They came for the bread. They came for the fish. They came to be healed. They came to be taught, but they didn't come for me. They didn't come to receive me as their king. So Christ says, don't tell anyone, lest the crowds will make me their king who would overthrow the Roman occupants and provide for the Israel a military political deliverance. Jesus says, I am a king. Indeed, I'm a king, but I've come to save your souls, not to simply alleviate your suffering from the political oppression. So first, become a follower of Jesus Christ by embracing, by declaring his grace. Second is by denying yourself. And we get this in verse 23. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Now, the word there, deny themselves, okay? It means to disown, to refuse oneself. And I appreciate the translation of disown, as if I am no longer alive. Instead, someone else is alive. I want you to see something. Deny yourself, die to yourself, pick up the cross, follow me. If you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. Now, that awfully sounds like what we just read previously when Christ says, I must die to the cross. I must die to the cross. And I must rise up from the dead. It's as if once we declare Jesus' grace, we deny ourselves, and the way we deny ourselves is by mirroring, following the acts of grace that Jesus has lived out, as in dying to myself and rising. The entire Bible can be summed up in this phrase, dying to yourself and rising in Jesus. I deny myself. I take up the cross. Take up the cross meant one thing, to be executed. That is the meaning of taking up the cross 2,000 years ago to the followers of Jesus Christ. People got executed on the cross. Jesus denied himself. He came to save you and me. It was as if he emptied his own interest. He said, there'll no longer be my own agenda. I am here to save victors of the world, you see. Okay? So, dying to oneself and rising in Jesus, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life, you will save it. And we receive that in the life of the resurrection. The word life in the Greek word is breath, your soul. And I appreciate that. What gain do you get if you gain the whole world, your money, your fame, your security, and yet you forfeit or you lose your soul, the very breath? It has such a visceral feeling to it. Victor, what good is all this that this life can offer? But if you lose yourself, your soul, and your identity. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul puts it this way: "For I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live for the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's what it means to deny myself. I deny myself because I say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the life of the Lord. And I live for Jesus. I live for Jesus. So, become a follower of Christ by declaring his grace, by denying yourself, and thirdly, by discerning Jesus' prayer. The whole narrative starts with Jesus praying in private, away from the crowds, away from the fans. But who was with him? The disciples. Hey, hang on. Was he in private? Was he alone? Or was he with Jesus Christ? Was he with the disciples? The answer is yes. As Jesus was praying to God the Father, God the Son praying to God the Father, as if the disciples were in the same vicinity. Prayer, therefore, is much like a conversation. It's much like a dialogue. Jesus is praying to God the Father, giving him glory and all the praise, and all of a sudden, in the course of the prayer, hey, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? It's all about discerning Jesus' prayer. Friends, Jesus is inviting you to listen to his prayer. What's he praying for? What's he praying about? My guess, right here. He's praying for you and me. Many years ago, when I heard Jesus saying, Victor, who do you say I am? I was listening to his prayer. He was praying to God the Father, Father, save Victor. Father, send your Holy Spirit. Father, work in his heart. Prompt him, prompt him. And I believe that's what's happening to you right here. Do you discern his prayer? He's praying for you. And he's saying, who do you say I am? At the end, it sounds like a warning. He says, whoever is ashamed of me, ashamed of my words, then I will be ashamed of them as well. Now, let's get that right. Peter disowned Jesus after he got arrested. Not once and not twice, but three times. Did Jesus disown Peter? Did Jesus deny Peter because Peter denied and disowned him? No, Jesus fully embraced Peter. So therefore, the meaning is this: I believe. I will never be ashamed of you, Victor. You are a sinner, and you are in dire need of my grace, and therefore, I will not be ashamed to be called your brother. I will not be ashamed to be called your Lord. I will not be ashamed to be called your Savior. So come to me, Victor. So friends, let's come to the conclusion. The theme and the goal: become a follower of Jesus Christ by declaring his grace, by denying yourself, and by discerning his prayer. Do you hear his voice right now? Is he saying to you, who do you say I am? Would you respond to him? Is he saying to you, don't stay with the crowds, don't remain a fan, be a follower, a fully devoted, committed follower of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, I pray for all of guests in this room who are receiving your grace now. I pray for Mosaic House Church family. I pray for the fans to become followers. I pray that the skeptics will continually investigate and come to a conclusion as to who Jesus is. May you receive all the glory. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for calling us to deny ourselves. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.